Welcome to the Mystery Twins Detective Agency. I'm Liam S. Smith, and it's hot in my room, but not nearly as hot as it is in Riverdale.
I'm Regan Lloyd. Let's head on down to the burger shop and discuss some mysteries.
All right. As you probably gathered from my introduction, we watched Riverdale this week.
Finally, we've had a few people recommend it to us and also just ask in our everyday lives why we haven't watched it yet. And it's because we were waiting to finish watching Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries.
In fact, just before we started recording this, our official listener, Leah, tweeted that with its most recent episode, it's gone from okay to must watch.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah. But before we get into Riverdale, how are you, Regan?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm okay. My computer overheated just before we started recording this episode, so I'm going to be winging it, because I don't have my notes.
I'm sure it'll be fine, and yet I never make notes because I always rely on you, so we'll see.
It's going to be a time, let me tell you.
Absolutely a time. Should we discuss our previous experiences with the Archie universe?
Let's. After you.
Well, I read a lot of Archie comics. I don't know why. I don't know why we had them, but I really liked them. I liked reading the Archie Double Digests.
What was that?
Well, it's just like a thicker comic book.
Oh, okay. Like an omnibus.
Yeah. So that has Archie comics and Betty and Veronica and Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Josie and the Pussycats.
Okay. Did you always consider yourself more of a Betty or a Veronica?
A Betty, obviously. She's the superior character.
I understand there's a bit of a rivalry there in the comics.
There is, yes. Basically, they both... But, I mean, the overarching thing is they're still best friends, but they're just constantly fighting over Archie.
Oh, Archie. He's so desirable for some reason.
In the comics, Cheryl sort of swoops in and creates a love square.
Cheryl. It's not really a square because...
You don't know. You don't know which one of Betty and Veronica is.
That's true. That's true. That's on me for assuming.
Exactly. Because Kevin is actually an openly gay character in the books.
Okay, so Kevin does exist in the books.
Kevin does exist in the books. But he also wants to join the military, but I don't know if the military allows you to do that if you're
gay,
to be
honest. Which would have been like Vietnam at the time.
No, I think he's a more recent character, because I don't really remember him.
Oh, okay.
But
right.
I have also been reading, like a few months ago, I was like, you know what I'm going to do with my time? I'm going to read some Archie comics. But no, I originally got him confused with Reggie, because Kevin is blonde in the comics.
Which
and
one's
has
Reggie?
Brown hair. I don't think he was in the TV show,
but
he's like a jock character. He might come up later.
Right.
I think he has a sister called Midge.
Oh, Midge. My experience with Archie comics.
That's where I'm at, yeah.
Yep. It's very minimal. Let's see. What do I know about Archie comics? Mostly things I've picked up from pop culture references from podcasts and TV shows. I know there's a guy called Jughead who wears some sort of crown and eats burgers. I know...
Very different to the Jughead we see in Riverdale.
Who wears some sort of beanie and fucks.
Who's he fucked?
I don't know. I just heard that in the lead up to the show there was all this publicity about how, like, this Jughead fucks. Because apparently he's asexual in the comics.
I mean, I don't think he's, like, asexual in the comics. He just never has any romantic interests.
Okay.
It's not, like, a plot point that Jughead is asexual.
Right.
Well, I mean, it could be, actually. I don't know. I didn't know Kevin was gay.
I've also seen that Tumblr post, which is all the times that Betty and Veronica made out.
In the show or in the comics?
In the comics.
Did they make out in the comics?
Well, there's a bunch of things like them on the same Tunnel of Love float, and one of them's like, hang on, if Archie isn't here, who was I kissing? And the other one's covered in lipstick.
Amazing.
Just a bunch of, like, sight gags like that.
Right, okay.
It's all very sort of innocent compared to the stuff that we saw in this, I would say.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I do know that Sabrina the Teenage Witch is part of the Riverdale universe because
yes.
Ryan North has just taken over writing the Jughead comics from Chip Zdarsky. Ryan North being the writer of Dinosaur Comics and Squirrel Girl, Chip Zdarsky being the writer of Sex Criminals. And he's introduced Sabrina the Teenage Witch into that line.
Oh, cool.
Casey Green did some comics about the Archie gang, specifically Jughead a few times too, but I can't remember the content of them.
Who's Casey Green?
He did Gun Show. He wrote that, he drew that This Is Fine thing.
Yes.
Anime Club.
I don't know what Anime Club is.
You'd probably know it if you saw it.
Right.
And finally, I think the Sonic the Hedgehog comics were published in Archie Comics too.
Really?
Yeah. And I think
that's basically
all I know about Archie.
Did you see the early 2000s Josie and the Pussycats movie?
No, but I've heard that name a lot more than I've heard other Archie names.
You should watch it. It is fucking amazing. You've probably heard it because I talk about it all the time.
Okay, right.
We can watch it next week.
Ooh, spoilers. Spoilers for our lives.
Next week is going to be the first podcast we've recorded together in...
year and a half-ish.
Not quite 18 months, but almost.
It's going to be a time.
I'm very excited.
So how do you want to begin talking about Riverdale? Is it a mystery show? Kind of.
Yeah, so there's an overarching mystery and there's a death.
But there's also a lot of teen drama.
And yet, I mean, Dirk Gently, similar sort of thing where it's not episodic mysteries, which means tragically there will be no mystery envelope.
We'll do a prediction
segment,
though.
I'm not as devastated because I knew that going into it, so it wasn't quite the betrayal that it has been in other episodes.
I've basically only heard this show described as, like, with phrases like, sexy murder-solving Archie.
Listen, that dude playing Archie is very good-looking.
He gets referred to as Zac Efron-esque, a few other things that I wrote down.
Why is Zac Efron the go-to comparison?
I think Veronica or someone said something about his Efron-esque emergence from the chrysalis of puberty.
Ah, right. No, it's called long bottoming.
Yep. Yeah, it's some other name they refer to him as. A whole bunch of typically attractive male actors, though, just used to analogize him because the show is so hip and modern.
Yeah, there were a lot of pop culture references.
Yeah.
I don't know if all of them landed that well.
I feel like the show is in a really weird place because it has this sort of Archie-esque wholesomeness in, like, the characters and who they are, but then it just, like, adds a dash of sex. And
friend of the show, Nicola Macri, said something very wise and intelligent about it when I messaged her a minute into the show and was like, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck, though?
That's basically what I sent you.
She said, I feel like it's using the iconography and characters as a symbol for nostalgia and innocence to play with rather than being an adaptation in any real way.
Yeah, that seems accurate. I was going to say, it feels like they're going for a sort of Twin Peaks or Stranger Things-esque vibe, although without the supernatural elements of Stranger Things, or Twin Peaks for that matter, I guess. Or is it? To be continued. But it's all rooted in the Archie IP, which, given my limited experience with it, has a very sort of pre-2000s mores wholesomeness to it.
Yeah, you know, back in an innocent time when facts were facts and, you know, we didn't have
and news was news.
Yeah.
But, like, in the designs of the characters, they're all very, like, sort of, you know, checkered sweater vest style guy and gingham dress girl, which has a sort of very evocative feel to it, if you know what I'm saying? Which just feels at odds with the things they're saying and doing.
Yeah, it is, it's an interesting time.
Yeah. But we probably danced around the issue for long enough. Should we get into our persons of interest?
Oh, yeah, let's, in a twist, I'm doing Persons of Interest today because Liam's computer crashed.
Yep, I'd done it and then I lost it.
So, our usual suspects. We've got KJ Apa as Archie Andrews. He played Teen Ethan in A Dog's Purpose.
Yes, I remember writing that down. I'm not going to say that for all of them, but that really caught my eye because that movie's been in the trades lately.
It has. Also, yeah, we're going to be clutching at straws on these POIs because a lot of people, this is their first thing.
Yeah, like the lady who plays Veronica.
Yes, Camila Mendes literally just done this.
And also an appearance as herself on
talk
show.
On Late Night with Seth Meyers, yes.
Presumably to promote this.
Playing Betty Cooper, we have Lily Reinhart.
Oh, should we go over the archetypes of these characters as we go? For people like me who may not know who they are.
Well, yeah, because I was about to be like, who is unfamiliar with the Archie comics, but no, you're right.
Yep. So Archie is, at least in this, he's sort of like the everyman, though he's just gotten really buff.
Yeah, so that's also what he's like in the comics. He's just like, your typical dude, you know, does some stuff, boy next door. But in this show, he fucks.
Which is weird, because they're all in high school.
It is weird. Because American high school, you're still 17 when you leave, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Riverdale is just a show about a bunch of sexy high schoolers having sex.
Although, to be fair, I did also grow up in a small country town, and I think we had, like, the highest teen pregnancy rate in Australia for a while, so...
Imitates life.
You got nothing else to do in a small country town, and apparently everyone's just getting it on.
And Veronica, who we also mentioned, is, I think, best described in contrast to Betty.
Yes, so they're the, you know, two sides of the female lead coin. Veronica has just moved from New York with her mum, which is interesting because I don't think I've ever seen her mum in the comics. I think she just lived with her dad.
Okay. Hermione Lodge and Veronica Lodge.
Yeah, but in this, her dad is on trial for embezzling, so they've had to move back to the town that her mum grew up in.
So Dad Lodge is a fixture in the comics?
Yeah, like more so than Mum Lodge. I don't know if she's dead or we just
Hiram
don't see her.
Hiram and Hermione. Why would those two people with those names ever get married?
I thought it was Myram.
It was Hiram, I believe.
Ah, well, there you go.
I could be wrong on that, but that's what I thought I heard.
I didn't put subtitles on, so I don't know.
Oh, nor did I. And Betty, in contrast to Veronica, played by
Lily Reinhart.
She done anything?
Okay, yes. She played Ashley in The Good Neighbor, and I was like, I don't know what this is, so I should look it up. And it actually sounds like something I would not watch, but I would read the Wikipedia synopsis of.
Oh, a horror movie, right.
Yeah. A pair of mischievous high school kids create the illusion of haunting an unsuspecting neighbor. While keeping his every reaction under surveillance, they see much more than they bargained for.
It sounds like a sort of suburbia type thing.
Yeah,
what's that thing called?
I'm interested.
The Stephen King movie where he breaks his leg and then looks out the window.
Oh, Shia LaBeouf.
Yep, that's what it's called.
Yep.
What?
He was in a remake of it.
Yeah, but what's it called?
I don't know.
Okay. And so, yes, in contrast to Veronica, Betty is the girl next door to Archie's boy next door. She's got an overbearing mum who wants her to be perfect.
They've also added in a dark plot about her older sister who has like had a mental breakdown and now lives in a group home.
Yeah, interesting. Good drama. A sexy group home.
Also linked to our victim this week, and indeed I would imagine the whole season. Jason Blossom, who I don't think is a character in the things.
Okay. I just assumed that the Blossom twins were fixtures of the comics and they were burning one of them right at the start of the first episode.
Well, no, because Cheryl's the one that, like, pops in and disrupts the Archie-Betty-Veronica triangle with her, like, red hair and brazen sexuality. So I think they just invented a twin so they could kill someone off without everyone being like, oh, but I wanted Jughead to be in the TV show.
Poor Jughead.
Speaking of Jughead,
choked
he is
on his own burger.
Jughead in this is played by Cole Sprouse from the Disney Channel.
You may know him as Cody in The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, and Cody in all the other things that show crossed over with, including...
Literally, his IMDb page is just
I'm in the band, Cody Martin, Hannah Montana, Cody Martin, Wizards of Waverly Place, Cody Martin, The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, Cody Martin, The Sweet Life Movie, Cody Martin, The Sweet Life on Deck, Cody Martin... That's So Raven, Cody Martin. And finally, Big Daddy, Julian Frankenstein, the kid's name, surname from Big Daddy, cut off by the preview.
Love it.
You know that Adam Sandler movie?
I do. We were talking about it last night, weirdly.
Yeah. So yeah, he's, I guess, escaping the Disney trap with this show.
Well, I see a lot of stuff on Tumblr between him and his twin brother, Dylan.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't... I didn't have the Disney Channel growing up, so
I was too old for The Sweet Life.
Nostalgically attached to them, but someone I follow on Tumblr is very into them. So Jughead is like he's your Jess Mariano of Riverdale.
I don't know what that means.
Luke's nephew in Gilmore Girls.
All right.
Oh, we only watched the pilot, didn't we? You didn't see any Jess. You know, he's your bad boy writing a novel, sitting in a cafe at 2 a.m.
Hang on, those things don't go together.
What?
Bad boy writing a novel.
I said he's the Jess Mariano of Riverdale, and I stand by that.
Okay, if you say so. He didn't strike me as bad boy, though. He struck me as, like, kind of a washout.
I mean, okay, fair. That's a fair criticism of me and my skills. Yeah, no, he, like a bit of a beatnik sort of.
He wears a crown hat. He eats burgers.
Fancies himself to be a Kerouac. He was not wearing a crown hat in this, nor was he eating a burger.
He was wearing a hat that suggests his crown hat, though.
He was wearing a beanie, wasn't he?
It had a bit of, like, a peak to it, though.
Ugh. It wasn't a Burger King crown, though, and that's what I've come to expect from Jughead.
Okay. Why is he called Jughead? Because I expected that would be a nickname, but then I looked on the IMDb list, and his name is Jughead Jones.
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't know. I think it's just what everyone calls him. You're like, all right.
All right. He's got very mean parents. Or his mum was like Mrs. Potts from the Beauty and the Beast.
Also, yeah, it just seems like a bit of a mean nickname. It's not like he's got, like, if they were calling Archie Blue because he's got red hair, like, you know.
But it's not even a nickname. His name is Jughead.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. If it were, it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we skipped over Cheryl, I believe, her cast.
She's at the bottom of my list, why.
Sure. Sorry.
I'm onto the B-plot characters who are, like, favourites from the universe. Also, Jughead's the narrator.
Oh, yes, because he's writing his novel about the murder.
Yeah. We've also got Josie and the Pussycats, whose names I can't remember apart from Josie. Melody and someone else.
Okay. Apparently they do a song in most episodes, which is nice.
That is nice.
I think there's only been three so far, so it might be everyone so far, and it may drop off, but that's what I've heard.
But also, I love them. Josie is, like, the sassiest character. She calls Archie Justin Gingerlake, which is the sickest burn in the whole episode. Yes, I'm here for this.
I feel like the fact that they all wear the cat's ears is another one of those sort of Archie-isms that feels kind of out of place with the tone of the show.
No, but I like how she, like, immediately mentions it and is like, this is a thing we're doing, deal with it, we're building our brand.
Yeah.
There was a lot of things that the show did where they, like, called out tropes or, like, just immediately established that things were going to be happening. Although a couple of them I will bring up later in that I'm not sure they did it in a very good way.
Right.
But yeah, that one, I was like, yes, into it.
And I think I know some of those other moments you're talking about too.
You 100% do, yes. And then we've also got Kevin, the gay best friend, played by Casey Cott. And I was like, I'm sure I know his name from somewhere. Opened up his IMDb page, nothing. But I know his name because his brother, Corey Cott, was in Newsies. And again, someone I follow on Tumblr, fucking into Newsies.
Okay. Kevin is the... I guess you would say token gay guy in the Riverdale archetype.
I would, yes, because I have not seen a second gay guy. Except at the end, but the screen was dark and I don't know who he was.
It was Moose.
Oh, okay.
He was another one of those sort of things they called out where it was like, he said something to Cheryl in a sassy way and then she responded, well, isn't being the gay best friend a bit played out too?
Yeah, so I'll get into this now. My criticism with the other things being called out was that they were both being called out by Cheryl, and while they were valid points, the way they've set her up for the rest of the episode is like, she a bitch.
Yeah.
So I think it was good they called out that and also lesbian kisses for attention. Not lesbian kisses, faux lesbian.
Yeah, we know what you mean.
Yeah, and yeah, very valid points, but I feel like they could have maybe been made by another character who wasn't being set up as like the Antichrist.
Yeah, who weren't being positioned to disagree with in everything else. But also, I kind of agreed with a lot of things Cheryl was saying in that one particular scene. But we'll get to that in due course.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Because we've not even started talking about the episode yet. But here's the main thing you got to know. It's Archie, but they fuck.
Yeah. And also die.
I can't believe, I just think that's really funny.
I'm a member of the Flophouse Facebook group where we talk about a lot of things. And two of the recent subjects of conversation have been this show and the young Pope, and they've both sort of developed into running jokes. This Pope fucks and this Jughead fucks.
Oh, okay, because I saw a Tumblr post about the Pope and Archie both being some, you know, someone was like, hey, what's two of the least sexy things you can think of? And someone was like, I don't know, Archie Comics and the Pope. And then it was like irony in the distance cackling.
Of course, the young Pope is actually like a strict conservative renewal type guy. So that doesn't really hold up to close examination, but it's a fun joke to make. In passing.
Well, I didn't know it. I didn't know there was a Pope. I didn't know there was a This Pope Fucks show. So I thought maybe there was going to be like something about like a sexy Pope thing in Riverdale. And I was like, okay, best get myself ready for that weird subplot then. But
I think it's basically just what we expected a show called The Young Pope to be about. Not without reason, I would say.
But is it actually about a pope, like a Catholic pope?
Yeah, he's the new pope, but he's much younger than average for popes, but he's also, like, hyper-conservative, rolling back the church.
But then how does he fuck?
He doesn't, that's the thing.
Oh! But why is it sexy?
It's Jude Law, I think.
Oh, okay.
Jude Law?
I don't get it.
That might not be right. It's just...
I don't know what's happening. I don't understand it at all.
Imagine in your mind what a show called The Young Pope would be about. It might just be Young Pope. Doesn't matter.
It sounds like it would be very boring and one of those things that's on ABC at 8:30 on a Saturday night and you're like, oh God, why am I here watching ABC?
Because I imagine almost like a... You know those movies where like the young cool guy rocks up to the place full of squares and teaches them how to be cool?
Right,
That's what I imagine when I hear Young Pope.
I see.
Maybe he does a kickflip on his skateboard.
Yes. And then he's like, come on, fellow teens.
Yeah, let's all go fuck.
Sup with the whack PlayStation, sup.
I think there's also a scene, though, where he wants his Diet Coke with his meal, and they're like, oh, we don't have any Diet Coke in yet because you're the new Pope and we haven't got all your new stuff in yet. Would regular be fine? And he's like, it's death to settle for things.
Oh, fuck off. Sorry we didn't get your Pope rider early enough, sir. Ugh.
God.
All right, should we get into talking about
Archie? Should we talk about Riverdale?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. How does this episode begin? I think it was with a red car driving through a forest, perhaps?
So we start with a very evocative voiceover from Jughead.
The great poet of our time, Jughead.
Yeah, talking about how, you know, Riverdale seems like an idyllic small town, but it's got a seedy underbelly.
Yeah, it's very sort of David Lynch.
Yeah. It sets up the central mystery.
Yep. Oh, that's right, because one day the Blossom Twins on the 4th of July went out boating, and then later that afternoon they found Cheryl washed up despondent on the side of the river, and they never found her brother's body.
No, they dredged the river, but they never found him.
It was really weird, wasn't it? It showed them both driving to the riverside, all dressed in white, and then I'm pretty sure they got out and walked towards the river holding hands.
Yeah, they did. There were definite twincest undertones.
Don't say that.
There were, though.
Yeah, but that's a gross portmanteau.
Yeah, I know. I'm really sorry. Okay, why is there a motorbike? Why is everything happening? Why is everything going wrong? Yeah, no, I'm sorry that that's a portmanteau that exists, but at least it's not one that I made up.
True, true.
Like most of the portmanteaus.
It was the Supernatural fandom.
Really? Oh, God, disappointed in you, Winchesters.
I don't actually know that.
They're not twins, though. They're just brothers.
Oh, yeah, they made up Wincest. That's right.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yes.
Anyway, I thought maybe I had misheard them say the Blossom Twins, and I was like, oh, maybe they're just two attractive redheads who are dating.
Right, or maybe it was like a derisive nickname, like, oh, they look so much alike and they're dating, they're twins.
Yeah, but nope.
Nope.
Legit twins.
Allegedly, Blossom dropped her glove in the river and Jason?
Cheryl. They're both Blossom.
Oh, sorry, yep. Cheryl dropped her glove in the river and Jason, in an attempt to pick it up, destabilised the boat and got washed away.
Yeah, tipped the boat, panicked and drowned.
They never found his body.
So, shit.
You think the show would at least give us some time to be like, these are the Riverdale kids. Look at their idyllic life.
No, it goes, literally opens with that and then goes into like introducing your faves. You got Archie and Betty hanging out, talking about their summer. Betty's been doing an internship. Archie's
You're skipping ahead a bit here. Because first we get a Jughead recapping the summer, being like, that event overshadowed the whole thing. And also, it's back to school now. And then we see Betty getting ready for this meeting with Archie in her room with Kevin?
Yes, with Kevin. Yeah.
And they look out the window and Archie is changing his shirt in his window. And they're like, oh shit, Archie's gotten hot now.
Oh yeah, because they are literally the boy and girl next door. Like, yes. Betty is looking from her bedroom into his bedroom.
Yep, and he's got a six pack. And I think Kevin says some joke about like six more reasons to date him.
He does indeed. Yeah, now they're in the thing. Archie's been writing songs.
Yeah, Pops or whatever it's called.
Pops Chocolate Shop.
That's right. That's another one of those very sort of wholesome-y feeling things. The name of this place.
Yeah.
It's a very sort of quintessential 50s diner apparently existing in the 2000s.
Yeah, and not in an ironic way.
Yeah. Let's all go hang out at the Peach Pit. The Max. Other things like that. Central
Perk. Can't think of any. I'm trying to get involved and I can't think of anything.
Cheers. The Monk's Cafe from Seinfeld.
Chicken Shop. No. I did a bad job.
Let's all go down to the chicken shop when you come back to Perth.
There is actually a place here called Chicken Shop.
No, let's not go there.
It's very good. I've been there. I went for my birthday last year.
Okay.
Anyway, yes.
So Archie and Betty are at this cafe having a time.
Oh, yeah. So Betty... Oh, we've also seen Veronica arrive in Riverdale.
Oh, yes. And her and her mum meet their butler, Smithers.
Yeah.
Who's apparently done working for Mr. Burns. Badum-ts.
Yeah, I feel like that's just one of those names that's so intrinsically tied to that character that it was sort of jarring every time she said Smithers.
Yeah. So they're on this date. Archie got buff by pouring cement all summer while Betty was doing an internship and her favourite author got to meet her.
Well, she got to meet her favourite author. I don't think the author was thrilled that she got to meet Betty.
I don't really think you're viewing things from enough of a Riverdale perspective, Regan. This is
a very good point.
Betty's last name.
Cooper.
Cooper? Hey.
I'm pretty sure.
So Betty is literally starting to ask Archie out.
And then Veronica Lodge swans in.
He immediately stops paying attention to her.
Yeah, and then they start talking. This is one of those pop culture references that didn't land because Veronica says, they're like, oh, how are you liking Riverdale? And she's like, oh, have you read the works of Truman Capote? Because I'm Breakfast at Tiffany's and this is more in cold blood.
Oh, I'm so cultured. What? I'm from New York.
Yeah, I was just like, shut up. That's not how you make friends. You don't make friends by being a dick.
And her behaviour in this scene is very at odds with her character in the rest of the episode, I thought.
Yeah, this scene is like comic book Veronica.
Okay, and
like spoiled and entitled. And
in this scene, she's basically just Cheryl Blossom.
How so?
Oh, just, you know, putting people down for not being cultured enough or whatever.
I don't think, oh yeah, I guess, yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's true.
They chat for a bit. Turns out that Betty's showing Veronica around at school tomorrow because Betty is the, you know, the archetype of the perfect straight A's
of course
student. Yep. And she leaves, she gets some onion rings, some burgers, and then after she leaves, Archie's like, sorry, Betty, what were you saying? And she's like, oh, never mind. You blew it, Arch.
So then it's the next day at school.
Oh, boy.
I'm not kidding. There are 13 and a half minutes before the title screen comes up.
We can't skip to the title screen, though, because a real bombshell happens just before it.
Well, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, so we're at school. Betty's showing Veronica around. Does that happen now?
Yep.
They meet Kevin. Veronica's like, oh, thank God you're gay. Let's be best friends, which are... okay.
Yep, I dig.
Veronica asks Betty if she is dating Archie, and Betty's like, oh, no.
Well, no, because what happens is Archie walks by or something, and they're all staring at him, and Veronica says, are you dating him? And Betty says something like, no, we're just friends, and Kevin says something like, I wish he's straight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Everyone loves Archie,
starring Ray Romano as Archie.
Do you mind putting in a word for me? And then Kevin's like, oh no, they're not dating yet.
Mm.
So then Veronica is immediately like, oh, okay, I'll stop pining after him. And now you have to ask him to this dance on Sunday. And
be back to school, like, semi-formal.
Yeah, and they're like, oh no, we might not have it because of what happened to Jason. And she's like, what happened to Jason? Also in this scene, we find out Veronica's dad did some embezzling.
Oh yeah.
No, we find out he did something and everyone knows about it. Whatever. The thing is, she didn't know about Jason. Cut to the school assembly.
Cheryl's in a veil giving some sort of speech about how Jason would have wanted them to have the semi-formal.
Yeah, it's really weird because she's doing the, like, playing the grieving widow, which
is also
weird.
Like, let's party.
But also it was her brother, not her husband.
True, yes. Meanwhile, Archie is having sexy eye contact with one of the faculty members.
What? That's weird, Archie. Why are you not clapping for Cheryl and instead just looking at this young, attractive teacher?
Who is also looking over her shoulder at you.
Flashback to Archie working on the side of the road at his dad's business, pulling his shirt up to wipe the sweat off his forehead, revealing his damn fine abs. Who rolls up but Miss Gunderson?
Grundy.
Shut up.
Which is perhaps the only less attractive name than Miss Gunderson.
I knew it was a bad name.
It's his teacher, Solomon Grundy.
She's like, do you want a ride? And then they fuck.
Yep. So Archie's having a relationship, or at least had a relationship, with one of his teachers, and she doesn't really comment on it that much.
No. Yeah, so, I mean, basically, you see steamed up car windows.
In a Beetle, which is another thing that feels very Archie.
Yeah.
An old Beetle, that is. A Volkswagen.
You can't see. You know there's bodies in there.
And not bodies like Jason Blossom's.
No, but like...
Unless...
The new Riverdale sexy bodies. Cut to the title screen. All right. That was weird.
It's blue neon font over like woodland, which is basically the opposite of the Stranger Things title card, which is red neon font over woodland in the Upside Down, which is a Stranger Things thing.
Oh. I saw more Stranger Things.
Did you like it?
I really should. I know I haven't.
Oh, I thought you said I saw more Stranger Things.
No, I have. I still haven't watched Stranger
Things.
Right,
yes, okay. It's good. Season 2's coming.
Yeah, maybe I'll download or watch on a plane.
Yeah.
You can download things from Netflix, right?
Yeah. Also download Terrace House Boys and Girls in the City.
Yes, I will. Thank you. That's a good, very good recommendation.
I know. What happens after the title screen?
I don't know, because I was just mourning the fact that there was no jaunty music. But this is not strictly a murder mystery show, and as such, I'm not guaranteed.
It's a murder mystery show in the same way as Twin Peaks was.
Which I still haven't watched either.
I've only watched a bit of it, but there's an arc-long murder mystery that leads you into the drama of the lives of these characters, but it doesn't remain about solving murders.
Yeah. And if a show is centrally about solving murders, that's when you are almost definitely guaranteed a jaunty title sequence.
Particularly if it's, you know, a family show about solving murders, as opposed to something like...
That's true.
I don't know, Special Victims Unit?
I got a text from my mum the other day saying, ha ha ha, your favourite show is on TV. It's Death in Paradise.
Hey.
Thanks, Mum. I hate that. You know I hate that show.
Look forward to Block 2 in Mystery Twins Detective Agency 2017.
Oh my god.
What happens in this show?
All right, so everyone's fucking.
Betty and Veronica want to try out for the cheerleading squad, and Archie wants to try out for the football squad. But Archie also wants to be a musician. He makes an appointment to meet with...
Mrs. Gunderson.
Yep, Mrs. Gunderson, in her office hours. And she's like, no, we can't ever talk to each other because we had sex and that's inappropriate.
And he's like, but you went to Juilliard and no one else in this town can teach me music like you can, so we gots to. And she's like, nah, actually, no.
Oh, yes, that's right. They're all outside listening to Archie's demo tapes of the song. Yeah, when he was speaking to... I'm jumping back a bit, but at the start of the episode, when he was speaking to Betty about the work he was doing pouring concrete over the summer, he said that while he was working, he started writing poems in his head. And Betty said... I didn't know you liked poetry. And he says, it wasn't poetry. It was song lyrics.
Well, then you wrote song lyrics in your head, fuck.
Right. So he cut some demos of these and they're all listening to it and it actually sounds good. And he's going to meet Mrs. Gunderson to get some advice. And that's when Cheryl comes up and is like, hey, Veronica, you're cool. You should try out for the cheerleading squad. And she's like, I'm only going to do it if Betty does it too.
Yeah. And then Cheryl's like, mm-ha-ha. And then looks at, says... what'd she say? She says some cutting things. Oh, yeah, she says Betty's got so much on her plate at the moment, and then the camera sort of pans to Betty's lunch, which looks very healthy. She's got a salad and, like, some fruit and a water.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that.
Having been a teenage girl, I did. Yeah, it was like she was obviously referring to Betty being fat, which is another thing that they mentioned because she was calling her Betty Draper in season 5 of Mad Men, which I think Kevin is like, it was a sick burn, but it was not true.
Right.
Because that is the season that she has, like, a thyroid disorder,
okay, right.
I think, and gets super fat.
Yeah, at that point, I still wasn't sure 100% what era this show took place in, so I hadn't picked up on that being a Mad Men in reference.
I'm pretty sure she literally says the phrase Betty Draper in
She
Mad
does,
Men.
But I'm not overly familiar with Mad Men. I haven't watched it all yet.
Ah, right. You should. It's good.
Yeah, I should.
That's it. That's the end of the podcast. Bye. Basically, so they go to try out for the cheerleading squad. Cheryl's like, where was the fire in your routine? Because they do a pretty bog standard,
yeah,
like,
I got to agree, they were kind of lacking passion.
They were a bit shit, yeah. But, oh, well, you think we're lacking passion, says Veronica? Just go with it, Betty. And then they kiss, and then Cheryl's like, the lesbian kiss shock factor really stopped in, like, 1994.
Yeah.
Which I disagree with, because Tartu, the Russian lesbian duo that sang all the things she said, was, like... definitely early 2000s.
Yeah, and what about that Katy Perry song?
Yeah, I was in high school when that came out, so...
Yeah, back in the 90s.
No.
I know.
Spreading lies about my age, Liam S. Smith.
I think we're the same age, aren't we?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, that sucked. Time for the interview portion. Hey, Betty, why do you suck so much and why did your sister steal my brother from smooching me or whatever? Well,
yeah,
Betty?
So she basically just makes Betty tell Veronica what happened with her sister.
Yeah.
Which is that Polly and Jason Blossom had dated, but it didn't end very well. And now Polly's in a group care home.
Yeah.
And Betty's parents blame Jason and how he treated her for that. But Betty's being very, you know, girl next door diplomatic about it. But there is also a cut to her clenched fists. And then when she releases them, she's got blood on the inside of her palms from digging her nails into her fists. Showing some underlying anger that I'm sure is going to bubble to the surface later. Oh my god, maybe Betty killed him.
Ooh.
Interesting.
That'd be good. Theory.
Interesting theory I'm going to develop when we get to the theory section at the end of the podcast.
That's what they call it. And then it's like, congratulations, Betty, you made the squad. I mean, Veronica, you made the squad. Go suck eggs, Betty. And then Veronica's like, nah, I know who you are. Cheryl, you suck. I suck. I'm great. I'm not going on the squad if Betty's not going on the squad.
You suck, I suck, I'm great is my favourite thing now.
Yep. Well, she's like, I was the same archetype you were, Cheryl, and I was terrible, but now I'm going to be great. AKA, you suck, I suck, I'm great.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's speed things along. When Archie's meeting with Mrs. Gunderson, fuck, Mrs. What's her name?
No, that's her name now, Mrs. Okay. Gunderson.
Yep.
Yeah, he's meeting with Mrs. Gunderson.
He's like, even if we don't talk about us, we need to talk about what we heard. And then we find out that they were making out on the riverside on the 4th of July, and they heard a gunshot at around the time that Jason died.
But they couldn't tell anyone, because how would they explain the fact that they were together at 6 a.m. on the 4th of July?
So they didn't.
Yeah, that seems highly immoral.
As if being a teacher and sleeping with your student isn't already highly immoral?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you've already fucked up, but now you've, like, triple fucked up. You've more than double fucked up.
Yeah.
You've at least triple fucked up.
She's tripled down on being kind of predatory.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, because he's, what, like 17? Even if she's a
at
fresh
the max.
College
he's a sophomore,
teen.
Whatever that is. So that's
yeah, I don't know what that means.
That's a second year in high school, I think. I think there's freshman, sophomore, junior, senior.
Oh, God.
So he'd be like a year 10
dear.
In our book.
No, thank you. That's disgusting.
Yep.
But anyway, someone's dead and you're not coming forward with some potential evidence, you piece of shit.
Basically.
Piece of shit, the new pirate-themed snack.
What? Oh, what? Right, I get it.
Yeah, I was like, fillet o' fish.
Oh, I thought you meant like piece of eight.
I didn't.
Okay.
That's you know, fillet o' fish.
Pieces of eight?
But I, yes.
I was recently watching, listening to a YouTuber that I like called H-Bomber Guy, who does a funny game, dumb videos, and also pretty solid social commentary stuff. And he made the really insightful point that the reason that, contrary to popular opinion, Pirates of the Caribbean 3 is one of the best movies ever made, it's because there are 9 magical pieces of eight in it.
Oh my God. That's such a hideous oversight.
No, that's deliberate, I'm pretty sure.
Oh my God.
Which makes it great.
I mean, yeah, I do not care for Johnny Depp and supporting his career at
no,
all.
No, that's
but that
true, but this was before all that came out.
Doesn't mean he wasn't a piece of shit.
True, true.
Piece of shit. There we go. We did it. We came full
circle.
In the joke.
End
yes.
of podcast. The pirate-themed
okay.
Johnny Depp-flavoured snack.
Polly
want a cracker. Archie goes to his football trials and the coach is like, since Jason died, you can have his spot on the varsity team.
And Archie's like, well, I need to work for my dad. And then he goes home and his dad's like, I thought you couldn't work for me because you had to play football. What is it, son? And he's like, I want to play music. And then we're like, all right, cool.
But also before Boom. He goes home, Betty and Veronica come over in their cheerleading outfits and are like, hey, Veronica's like, hey, Archie, take Betty to the... Sorry, I'm having a moment here.
You are having a moment, aren't you?
Yeah.
Do you want me to explain this scene?
Yes.
So Betty and Veronica come over and Veronica is like very high school. Like, oh, Archie, Betty has something she wants to ask you about the dance. And Betty's got dagger eyes. And then she's like, oh, did you want to come to the dance with both of us? Come to the dance with both of us. And Archie's like, that doesn't make no sense. And then they're like, yeah, no, because Veronica's new. Ha ha ha.
And she
let's all go
any
to the dance together.
Because everyone thinks her dad's awful.
Yeah. Gotta escort us. Ma ha 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 ha. Love triangle. Great. Okay.
Apart from the very end of the episode, I felt like Veronica was surprisingly consistently in Betty's corner for the whole time.
Yeah, I agree. And at least she realizes when she fucks up. So what happens is they go to the dance. Cheryl wants to start some shit. Also, further adding to the weird Cheryl-Jason relationship, the song that they play at the dance is the song that her parents said they were conceived to.
Yep,
that's
fucked
fucking
up.
Disgusting.
Also, it's Josie and the Pussycats playing it.
Yeah, normally they do original music, but today they're going to do a cover.
Oh, earlier there was a scene where Archie was like, hey, Josie and the Pussycats, I've been writing song lyrics. And they're like, no, get out of here.
Yeah, because they're building a brand.
Yeah, he is. Catwoman, starring Halle Berry as Selena Kyle, aka Catwoman. I don't think she was Selena Kyle in that. Doesn't matter.
It's not important.
No, it's literally the most important thing we've said in the 51 minutes we've been recording.
No, what is important is that Cheryl wants to start some shit, so she invites everyone to the after party and then makes Betty and Archie do 7 minutes in heaven, except Betty says no, so then she makes Veronica and Archie do it, and then they're talking and they're being real deep, and then Archie and Veronica kiss, and then Betty finds out, and then Betty leaves, and then they go to find her, but they have to go separately because Veronica's like, Betty doesn't want to see us both at the same time looking for her. So then Archie goes to Pop's chocolate
shop. Veronica just goes home.
Yeah, I think so.
Also, you did skip over a couple of important things that I just want to highlight quickly as we are in speed mode. At the dance.
Sorry, I just got into speed mode and I was like, I'm going to see how long I can talk without taking a breath.
At the dance, Betty asks Archie out and he basically says no, but just doesn't answer. And also Archie goes and blackmails Mrs. Gunderson into giving him music lessons.
Oh yeah, he does, doesn't he? Good on you, Archie.
Because he's like, if you don't do this for me, only music lessons, no funny stuff in the mornings, every morning you're available, then I'm going to tell everyone about the murder and also about us.
I mean, you're going to have to go to a lot of therapy sessions about this later.
We know there's not going to be no funny stuff, don't we?
Yeah. But also, like, yeah, this is going to fuck you up a lot in your adult life, Archie, but, like, good on you for leveraging the situation for your own personal gain, I guess.
Archie has also resolved his, what am I going to do with my life issues, but deciding he's going to do everything. He's going to do music in the morning, football after school, and work with his dad on weekends. We also skipped over a scene that I thought he had a very actually touching scene with his dad after that thing where his dad was like, hey, are you lying to me or your football coach? Where he said, like, son, I thought we had a good relationship. When did you stop telling me things? I feel like I'll trust you to make any decisions. I don't care if you don't play football. I don't care if you don't work with me ever again. But I feel like if you make these decisions, you should be confident enough in them to not lie about them.
Yeah, that was actually a really touching scene.
In a sort of stereotypically masculine way, it was quite sweet.
Yeah, but that also like really brings it back to like, oh, remember that this is also just the OC.
Yes.
This is Dawson's Creek.
This is
Sparta.
Yeah, we got there. I was trying to think of other shows about team dramas named after towns. Silver Sun.
Jeopardy.
Ocean Girl.
Oh, actually, I forgot to say in Persons of Interest.
Parallax.
Cheryl was in one episode of Instant Mom, and she played Mermaid. I thought that was a great credit.
I have no idea what Instant Mom is, and I'm
Me neither.
Intrigued as how there could be a mermaid in it.
Me too.
Yeah, they did 7 minutes in heaven. They made out after trying not to. They did. They went and looked for Betty, except Veronica just went home. And then Archie goes and looks at the diner, and Jughead's there. And they fuck. No, they don't.
That would have been a much more interesting episode, though. Basically, Jughead is just being all broody about the events of the summer.
There's allusion to the fact that previously Archie ruined his friendship with Jughead by not talking to him honestly.
Well, that seems to be a recurring theme in your life, Archie. Maybe we should get you into that therapy now rather than later in your 20s.
He's talking about how he's concerned he may have ruined his relationship with his best friend, i.e. Betty, and he's like, if you talk to her, she'll understand. I would have.
Well, I'm interested to delve into that backstory.
I bet it has something to do with the whole Mrs. Gunderson thing.
Oh, for sure. Or does it? Because it seemed like a deep wound.
That's a wrap on Jughead in episode one.
Yeah. Actually, that's basically a wrap on episode one. Oh, no, it's not a wrap on episode one. So Kevin and Moose.
At the ball, Kevin talked about how Moose propositioned him in the toilets. Moose is some sort of jock bully with some other guy. Is he a bully? He didn't bully Archie in this episode, but he seemed like he would be the bully type.
No, I think he bullies the one that I thought Kevin was, Reggie.
Okay. And also, he's got some sort of friend who is obsessed with Archie getting laid.
Right.
Because when he learnt that Archie was doing housework over the house construction work over the summer, he's like, did you bang any cougars? And then when they were doing 7 minutes in heaven, he was like, yeah, Archie, you should go fuck all everyone.
I mean, it's only 7 minutes.
What's his character's name?
I know he's a teenager, but come on.
What's his character's name? The one who isn't Moose?
Kevin?
No, he's...
The gay one?
No, he's the other jockey guy.
Reggie.
I don't know.
Well, Reggie is one in the books, but I didn't remember him being in the TV show, but I also don't remember the character who is obsessed with Archie fucking, the writers, apparently.
That character exists.
Okay, well, yeah, maybe that's Reggie.
Anyway, we digress. Moose and Kevin, I keep trying to think his name is Victor for some reason.
That's very weird, but he could be a Victor. He's got the hair for a Victor.
Moose and Kevin are going down by the river, and Moose is like, just so you know, I'm not gay. And Kevin's like, okay. But if you were gay, this is what we could do, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It was a gross proposition. It sounded like people reading sexts to each other. You know what I mean? Like, oh, but I'm yeah. But if you were here, what would you be doing?
Yeah, yeah. Gross. As they're taking off their shirts, Kevin is like, "I love closet cases," and they find a dead body.
Yeah, so they're basically about to go skinny dipping and then they find Jason's body. But then they did a pan up on the body, yep. Right? It just looks like a drowned body, but then they go, oh my God, it's Jason. He was shot.
It was in his forehead.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Because you want to look at his gross dead skin.
Yeah. Well, also because that body can't have been in the water for too long because... it's so gross, I don't want to finish the sentence.
Yeah, if he was...
But if the body's been in the water for that long, it goes bloaty and the skin slides off. Oh,
Regan, how naive you are. They never found the body in the water.
I know, that's what I mean. Someone must have taken the body away from the site and then put it back in the water.
Precisely.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they dredged the river. They would have found it if he'd been in the water before. But that's informing my theory, is that...
Okay, yeah. Well,
his skin's not sliding off his body, so...
Just before we continue focusing on that to talk about our predictions, Jughead gives another moody monologue about how that changed the mood of the town and how it was one of shadows and secrets. And after they did his autopsy the next day, on Tuesday, by fourth period or whatever, they'd made their first arrest.
I thought it was fifth period Monday.
I think fifth period Monday was the autopsy.
Oh, okay.
And then Tuesday was the arrests. So who do you think is going to be the first arrest?
It's got to be Cheryl, right?
But I feel like Cheryl has to be the ultimate culprit. And they're not going to just arrest her in the second episode. Oh, there was also a scene...
Maybe it's Mrs. Gunderson.
Yeah, maybe. In fact, I think I wrote that down in my prediction book. But we also skipped over a scene where Mrs. Lodge comes home and finds a black bag of cash from her husband on the desk.
Oh, yeah, and she's like, oh, Milton, what have you done?
Oh, Hiram, what have you done?
Yeah. I'm surprised that we got through this in an hour, considering at like 48 minutes we had barely gotten past the title screen.
Well, you did sort of recap the whole last quarter of the episode in one sentence.
That's
really fast.
True, I did. Well, you know.
There was a lot of important tension in that surprisingly spacious closet that Veronica and
that
Archie had
to
7 minutes in heaven in.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our predictions for the future of Riverdale.
Okay. I think Betty's going to end up a suspect because of the history with her sister and Jason, but I don't think she did it because that would be insane. I don't know. It seems too obvious that Cheryl did it.
Right. Maybe it was Mrs. Gunderson and she deliberately brought Archie to the riverside that day to establish an alibi with some weight because it would also be some sort of terrible scandal.
Yeah, I agree.
But also she was with him when it happened, so there would have to be some sort of elaborate plot there.
Yeah, like maybe she hired someone to, I don't know.
Mm.
Interesting.
Okay, I have four predictions here.
Go.
So first, as you said, it seems too obvious for Cheryl to have killed Jason, but at this stage it could only be her, based on the information we have. Point two, Jughead gets laid. Point three, Miss Grundy dies.
No, point four, she won't die.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch will show up on the show by the end of season three, may or may not actually have magic powers.
End of season three is a lot. I reckon end of season two.
I'm saying end of season three for safety, but I feel like start of season three in these shows where they often introduce someone to shake things up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that's where I'm at.
I like it.
She'll be like all into Wicca or something and or actually a witch.
Oh, yeah, she'll be. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's a hip, trendy way to modernize.
Yeah.
Her being a witch.
It's just, what's her name? Katie Coleman? Is that her name? No. Who played Sabrina in the Sabrina show?
Melissa Joan Hart.
That's right, yeah. It's just Melissa Joan Hart. And the same Salem puppet.
That would be an amazing deep cut. Not even that deep. All right, well, what do you think? Is this a hot case or is this as cold and lifeless as Jason's body?
Oh my God, shit. Jason, as in the murderer from Friday the 13th?
Yep.
Shit.
That's exactly the reference I was making.
I wonder if there were any Jason comics in the Archie comics line.
I mean, not that I've come across, but you never know.
Difficult to say. There isn't so much of a murder mystery at this point, even though there is a murder and a mystery about it, but the show is much more about other things. So it is a bit of an edge case for our mission statement here. But that said, I am enjoying the show.
I am also enjoying the show. Should we do what we did with Dirk Gently, where we watch it independently and then just report back?
Well, it's harder to do that with this than Dirk Gently because with that we could just watch all of it and then talk about it, but this is coming out on a weekly basis.
Oh, that's annoying.
For my money, I'm at least happy to give this one more episode if you don't have an objection.
My only objection is on a purely logistical level that should we do something more in our wheelhouse while we're recording together?
I mean, we can always just record an extra thing.
Well, we're going to have to record at least one extra thing anyway to cover when I'm flying back. I'm happy to give it another go, see what happens, make some more predictions.
There is at least an arrest next week, so.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. Also, I want to delve deeper into Jughead's character.
Yeah.
Who hurt him?
It was Archie, probably.
Oh, yeah, of course it was. We've already established that. It's not even
Maybe
a mystery.
It was Pop, the guy who owns the chocolate shop.
No, because he wouldn't keep hanging out there at 2 a.m.
But he needs to. He needs those sweet burgers.
Now, do we have time to solve a mystery of the week?
I guess, say we do.
Listen, I don't think it's going to take us long.
We're pretty good at this. But,
this mystery comes from Bradley Walker. Thank you, Bradley. Dear Mystery Twins, do birds ever fly into people? Love always, Bradley. P.S. Thanks for teaching me how to pronounce synecdoche. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Do birds ever fly into people?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
Exhibit A, that photo and or video of that time Fabio was on a roller coaster and a goose flew into his head.
I'm sorry, what?
You know Fabio, the model?
Yeah.
He was on a roller coaster, and I'm pretty sure it was a goose. It may have been a swan or other similarly sized bird flew into his face.
That is fucking incredible.
Right?
That's such a good story.
Can we tweet a video of that if we can find it?
You know we can.
Good. We have the technology. We'll tweet it just like the tweets of pain that bird made when it hit Fabio's well-sculpted face.
That was a good joke that you made there.
That was a real tortured metaphor I made there.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Case closed.
Case fucking closed. But thank you for your mystery, Bradley. If you have more mysteries, please email them to us at mystery... No?
Oh, shit. What was the thing that Cheryl said in this episode about following people on Twitter?
It was like, follow me on Twitter and I'll do the same. I'm at Cheryl Bombshell.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter and we'll do the same. We're at MTDAPod.
Perfect. Or you can email us at mtdapod@gmail.com if your mystery cannot be condensed into 140 characters. Join us on Monday for Mystery Envelope Monday. It's just going to be some random scribbles this week because we didn't have a mystery envelope.
I got my predictions.
And our theme music is In the Crowd by the Years. That's it from us. Until next week, no yachts.
Jughead fucks.